prosperous plans. So over Christmas break, we had our boys home and daughter-in-law, and we played a game a couple nights, and we played the game that they like to play is called Catan. Anybody played Catan? All right. Oh boy, just all right. Yeah, Daniel, you've played it, of course. Yes. So it's called Catan. So Catan is a little bit of a, it's a little bit maybe like Monopoly. How many played Pit before? That's an older game. Anybody played Pit? Yes. You're trading for commodities, wheat, barley, oats, and stuff like that. It's a card game. And then, I don't know, it's a mixture of a couple different things. But Catan is an island, okay? And on this island, you got all these commodities. So you have ore, brick, wood, wheat. There's five of them. Sheep, all right? And so then there's roads going all the way through this island. So it kind of looks like a tortoise shell, kind of that way, kind of this round island. And you got all these little pockets of these resources, right? And so you have six people, four people, whatever. And you all get placed on there. And so the person who gets to place first rolls the dice, whoever has the highest number. They get to position their city and their first road in the best spot. So each of those commodities has a number that's picked by random. Okay, so when you roll the dice, and if you are connected to that property, I get like one sheep, okay? Or I get wheat if it's on wheat or whatever. But I have to have that number. So if that number on that commodity is a six and somebody rolls a six, then I get whatever that is, whether it's wheat, sheep, bricks, or whatever. And I need those because if I want to build a road, I need bricks and trees. If I want to build a city, I need sheep, road. I need four things, okay? And if I want to, is the city the big thing? Is the establishment the first thing? Establishment, you need four things. And then if you want to build a city, I need three wheat and two ore. Okay, and each of those things are worth money. Establishment's worth 1 point, a city's worth two, and you have to get up to 10 points. All right, and so you are, and then if you get these commodities, you get wheat, sheep, I need some ore to build what I'm going to do, so then you can trade with other people when it's your turn. Say, hey, I have a sheep, I need an ore, so you can trade. All right, and sometimes people are nice to you, sometimes they're not so nice. It all depends on how well you are doing, right? Kind of like, okay, he's about ready to win. We're not going to be nice to him, all right? But as we were playing that, man, you can have this. Oh, man, I got all these cards. You know, you can just see it, right? You got it all planned out, and it's going to happen, and all of a sudden, somebody rolls a seven, and that's just bad news. Because when you roll a seven, you have to give up half. If you have over seven cards, you have to give away half of your cards. You have to put them back in the bank. And it's kind of like, you had all these plans, and psh, there they went, right? Or you have these plans and then somebody else builds a road right where you were going to put a city. Now you can't go there. Plans. As I was thinking about that, you know, we have plans in life and we have everything all planned out, right? And sometimes it goes the way we want to and sometimes it doesn't. In the game of Catan, it rarely went the way you wanted it to. There's just too much chance built into it. Although our son Aaron won both times, so I have a grudge there, but. He did good. So, I want to talk to us about plans. I want to do a series called Plans in the Light of Eternity. And this morning I want to take us to Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6. That's been just a key passage for me since I can remember, okay? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Maybe you know it. How many know it? Trust in the Lord with all of your hearts. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he'll direct your paths. It's just been a key verse, passage of scripture. I haven't preached on it a whole lot, though. And so as I've kind of dug into this in a little bit deeper level, I've really gleaned a lot for myself personally. And so I want to take us into that and study that a little more today. So let's bow our heads in prayer and let's dive in together. Father, we just thank you for your word. It is your living word, God, and we just pray that you would speak to us this morning through your word, Father. Apply it to our lives, Lord God, and help us to walk before you and help us to walk in relationship with you, God, and your word. And we just ask for your Holy Spirit to make it come alive to us today. We ask in your name, amen. Amen. Let's read this together. If you have your own copy of God's word on your phone or your Bible, bring that up. I'm reading out the NIV, and I'm going to begin in verse 1. It says, my son, and you can put your, you know, if you're a lady, you can put daughter there. Okay, there's nothing wrong with that. This is Solomon. This is Solomon writing to his son. All right, my son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart. Okay, and teaching there was considered the word of God. Okay, so the teachings of Scripture keep within your heart. Okay, your inner being. Okay, obey them, guard those commands, keep them within your heart is what he's saying. For they will prolong your life. Did you know that? That if you hold God's Scripture within your heart, the promises for a long life. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Okay, love is God's love for us. Faithfulness, okay, never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Now, you're not going to go out and write them on your heart, are you, right? So it's a figurative of speech to put them there within your heart so that they're there when you're thinking, when you're meditating, when you're going through life, when you're at work, when you're studying. Those things are within your heart and within your mind. You're thinking, you're dwelling upon them, you're pondering them. Okay, write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of who? God and man. Favor. That's a good thing to have, is to have favor. Verse 2 there talks about, I want to go back up to there. They'll prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity. You know, when I grew up, especially when my high school years, prosperity kind of meant, in the church world, it was kind of abused, okay? And what I mean by abused is prosperity was interpreted that God is going to give you a Cadillac in your driveway, a mansion on a hilltop, and money in the bank, okay? And that's what prosperity came to mean, but that is not a biblical understanding of what prosperity is. It could include those things, but it's much richer and much deeper than that, because that word prosperity is actually also translated, let me get back up to here, shalom, it means peace, prosperity, it means completeness, it means well-being. And so when you get into the Hebrew, the Old Testament language, it's very holistic. What do I mean by holistic? I mean that my spiritual life is going to impact my physical life and my health and my emotional health. My emotional health is going to impact my spiritual life and my physical health. They're all connected. Okay, that's the idea of holistic. And in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew, that very much comes true, that when we follow the teachings of Scripture, not only is it going to impact our spiritual health, it's going to impact our emotional health, our physical health, our whole life, okay? Prosperity. All right, so I just wanted to clarify that. So let's go into verse 5a, first part of verse 5. That's where we're going to mine out or discover our first principle here. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. That seems pretty simple, doesn't it? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. What does trust mean? If you go just kind of looking at the literal part of it, it means to have a strong confidence or reliance upon something. Okay? And within Scripture, you're going to see that trust, the topic of Scripture is going to deal a lot where the object of trust. What are you putting your trust in? Okay, now here the author is calling us to put our trust in who? In God, right? Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. But as you read through Scripture, you'll find out people put trust in a lot of different things. Help me out. What can you think of? What did they put trust in? Money. Yes, they did, didn't they? Riches and wealth. People still do that today? People. Yes, maybe friends. Sometimes they put it in other armies, right? Where they'd make alliance with other armies. You'll see that in some of the Old Testament stories. They, instead of trusting in God, they would say, oh, I have an alliance with another country, another army. They're going to protect us. And God says, you're foolish in that. You're supposed to be putting your trust in God. What else? Idols? Yes. False gods. Sometimes they put it in trust in their army, chariots and horses. It says in the, some trust in chariots and horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. So we can put trust in a lot of different things. But the author of Proverbs is very much a wisdom book, okay? And so it's wanting us to look at things from the idea of wisdom. And you can have all the knowledge in the world and not have wisdom, right? Knowledge is great, but unless you have wisdom, in other words, the ability to apply that knowledge, in a way that can help you, it's useless. So wisdom is being able to take what the knowledge you have and use it in a good way. So the author here is saying, trust in the Lord. Have confidence in who God is and what He says He can do. Put your trust completely in Him. Now it says with your whole heart. Okay, so it's not meaning your physical heart, but heart means your whole being. Okay, that when we talk about our heart, we still use that terminology today. You know, we say, man, I love you with my whole heart, right? We mean, I love you with all that I am, right? My body, soul, my mind. I love you with all that I am. Completely, I'm totally in, without reservation. I'm giving you my whole heart. And so the promise here, the instruction is to trust in the Lord with all of our heart. Why is that? What you're going to see here is that God isn't just calling us to a formula. You know, trust, lean not, acknowledge. He's not. It's just not a formula we can go by and I'm going to have prosperity. He's calling us to a relationship with Him. And if you are to have a relationship, the foundational principle of any relationship is trust. You can't have a relationship unless you have trust. And that's always the risky part. Some of us don't have many friends. Why? Because we're not willing to trust anybody, right? It's tough to take that first step and that risk because you begin to trust somebody, they can break your heart, they can turn on you, they can hurt you. But without trust, you can't have a relationship. You have to trust. So the first principle that we see, and Darius has it up there, is trust is foundational in our walk with God. Trust is foundational. And you know, I don't know how long you've been walking with God. Maybe you've been walking with God for months, years, many years. But as somebody that was saved when they were very young, I'm still working on that, to trust God with my whole heart, completely. There's times that I trust Him, and then there's times that I'm willing to give Him my whole heart, or just really to take that step. Okay, if I can just, can we just be honest here? To really trust God with all that I am. But that's what He's calling us to, because if He's really who He says He is, and He can do what He says He can do, and I say that I believe in God, then I have to trust Him completely, without reservation. I can trust Him with my life. In a book that I listened to when I went up to South Dakota a week and a half ago, my dad was having surgery, and so I got a free subscription to Audible. I listened to a book called No One. It's by Dick Foth. He was a president of one of our Bible colleges out in California, and then he served at Wheaton College. And when he was at Wheaton College, they had a guest speaker there. Her name was Elizabeth Elliot. How many recognize that name? Elizabeth Elliot wrote a book called Through the Gates of Splendor. But we know her primarily because in January 9, 1956, several years ago, news came out that five young missionaries lost their life down on the Amazon River in Ecuador, in the Amazon rainforest. It was actually on the Curaray River. They've been reaching out to these people. They were, you know, natives in the very strictest sense. They were reaching out to these people. They were warrior-type people. And so they've been reaching out, giving them gifts, and they felt like they had built confidence with these people. They went in there, and the people attacked and killed five of them, including Elizabeth's husband. The pilot, Nate Saint, survived, and a sister. So some of them stayed there and worked there, and God ended up really establishing a work there. Many of those people were reached for God through that. But she wrote a book called Through the Gates of Splendor, just talking about her story, how what the events that happened in her journey through that. But she spoke in chapel one day, and so Dick Foth said, you know, would you come to my office, and we could grab a cup of coffee. And while they're there, he asked her a question. He says, what is the most important part of following Jesus? It's a deep question. Without hesitation, she said, trust. What else is there? Walking with Jesus is a life of trust. And I don't care what you're going through in life, that is the foundational principle of walking with God, is that we have to trust Him. When we trust Him with all of our heart, the other things will fall in place, because ultimately, God isn't just up there and we're down here. He wants to call us into a relationship with Him. Amen? He wants to call us into a relationship. Let's look at the second part of verse 5. It says, lean not on your own understanding. Now this, in the original language, doesn't mean lean against a wall, that type of thing. That is, you're kind of supporting yourself. It really means to rely on, to support your whole self on something, okay? And so in this situation, we're not supposed to rely totally, completely on our intelligence, our knowledge, our comprehension, our understanding. We're not supposed to totally lean upon that and think that we have all that together. Why? Because self-reliance leads to pride, it leads to arrogance, it leads to an independent spirit that is toxic to any relationship. Am I right? Nobody likes to hang around somebody that knows it all or that they don't need anybody, right? Relationships are all about that there's given back and forth, right? There's give and take. And there's that idea that we need each other, whether it's in a marriage relationship, whether it's in a parent-child relationship, whether it's just in friendships. There's that camaraderie there that we need each other. We encourage one another. We enjoy the fellowship. We strengthen one another. There's that idea of just being together. But if you're self-reliant, you don't need anybody else, and you're not going to have a relationship. And guess what? If you have that self-reliant, independent attitude within your own life towards God, guess what? It's going to be toxic to your relationship with God. Even though you believe in God, God's going to be there, and you're going to be down here, and you're going to say, man, I can do it myself. I can do it my way. And so we plow ahead, and we work with all we have, and all of a sudden our plans fall apart. Things don't go the way we want them to. We get frustrated. And sometimes we get to that place and say, God, I can't do it on my own. And God's saying, yeah, I realize that, right? It's a relationship. And so we are not to lean on our own understanding. So the second principle is self-reliance will hinder your walk with God. You know, God has given us wisdom. He's given us knowledge. He's given us intelligence. That is how we are different from the animals. You know, animals are truly creative. You know, we have pets. We enjoy wildlife. But we're different. We were created to be in relationship with God. And we don't get that picture of animals. We have a spirit and a soul. They do not. We were meant to have interaction and fellowship with God, to have fellowship with Him. It says we're created in the image of God, right? It says that right away in Genesis. Now, God is spirit. So it isn't referring to physical attributes, okay? It is referring to that we were made like Him to have relationship, to have fellowship. And one of the things that God enjoyed doing before the fall of man is He would come to the garden, and what would He do? Did He enjoy looking at the trees? Did He enjoy the deer running through the field? What did He enjoy doing? Walking with Adam and Eve in the garden, having fellowship with them. We were created for fellowship. Self-reliance will hinder your walk with God. And so we have to walk in humility is what it means. God knows that He wants us to use our brain. He wants us, I think, to even plan. I'm not saying don't plan. We have to have plans. God wants us to use our intelligence. That's why He gave us a brain. Right? But He also wants us to walk humbly, and He wants us to walk in relationship with Him. He wants to walk with us. Verse 7, which we're not going to get into a lot, but it says, do not be wise in your own eyes, right? But come before God and seek His guidance. Let's look at the third point. Verse 6, it says, in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. Acknowledge Him. Now, if I was to take that at face value, acknowledge means that I'm going to consult somebody, right? But really here what it's saying is that it means to know, to simply know God. It contains the idea of knowledge, acknowledging Him, but it's a much richer content of being aware of and having fellowship with. Okay? So acknowledge Him is to know Him, to have an intimate acquaintance with Him, to be aware of Him, to be in a relationship with Him. It is not simply intellectual awareness of God's existence, but the acceptance of God's presence to guide and direct your life. It's a relationship again, isn't it? That God is calling us into that relationship. And He says if we acknowledge Him, if we know Him, He is going to make your path straight. Okay? Now, Nebraska, you have some straight roads, right? And then you have some crooked roads, right? What does that mean? Well, it means to smooth out, to make level, to remove the obstacles. One of my not-so-favorite roads to drive in is if you're driving up to Alaska in the spring and you get through kind of the Yukon Territory, okay? So I've made that trip several times because we lived up there for a time in the season when I was in high school. And so up in the Yukon Territory there, the frost was just still coming out in May, all right? And so instead of being a flat, level, straight road, it looks like this. And I mean, it was so, it would make you almost sick to your stomach. It's like you're on a roller coaster. I mean, it was that, like this, you know, because the frost was coming up. It was just heaving and it was just a mess. And so they would take them all summer to get it ready and then it happened all over again. God says, you know what, if you acknowledge me, if you know me, I am going to make your paths without hindrance, without obstacles. I'm going to smooth them out. We could also translate it to, you will know my path. I will show you my path. I'll show you what to do. So it's not so much that God is going to go before you and make your path straight as much as God is going to give you the guidance to direct your paths in the way that they should go. Is that making sense? The third principle here is, Gary's can put it up there, know God and you will know His ways. And I think sometimes when I've approached this, I kind of saw this as a principle, kind of like a formula. Hey, I'm going to trust you. I'm not going to lean on my understanding. I'm going to seek your face as to what I should do. And I think that is okay? But it goes much deeper that God wants us to be in that place that we've developed such a relationship with Him, that we know Him, and because we're hanging out with Him, because we're in relationship with Him, we're in His Word, we're in prayer, that with that comes the knowledge that He's directing our paths because we know His ways. Because we've been hanging out with Him, right? Just think about some of your best friends. Okay, it could be your spouse. It could be somebody else. The more you hang out with them, the more you understand who they are, what they like to do, right? You know their heart, right? You know what makes them excited. You know their, you know, things that they hate, the things that they love, right? Some of you know each other too well. I can tell that by some of your giggles, okay? All right? But the idea here is the more that we hang out with God, the more we know Him, we know His ways. I want to give us one example here. It's really a sad account. It's found in 1 Samuel 28, if you want to turn there. That's what I'm going to do. It's about the life of Saul. Saul was the first king of Israel. That was not God's plan. God's plan was to be led by prophets, judges, had that spiritual leadership there, but they pleaded and begged for a king. They said, we want to be like everybody else. We want to be like all the other countries, the other nations. We want a king. So God granted them a king. And so God's choice was Saul. He was anointed by Samuel. But along that way, I mean, Saul has this, he seems to be a humble guy. He's tall. He's good looking. He's kind of bashful and shy. I believe that he had some insecurities there that would manifest themselves later. But God placed His Spirit upon him. One day, right when he begins, he's prophesying. God's anointing is upon his life. He goes out and he has some great military victories. God is going with him. Life is great. They're establishing the kingdom of Israel. But then as the more powerful he got, the more comfortable he got, all of a sudden he began to do things his own way. One day they were about ready to go out for battle and they were going to offer a sacrifice before they went out to battle. And Samuel wasn't coming. It was time to go out to battle. No Samuel. Kept looking around, no Samuel. Finally, he says, I'm going to take matters into my own hand. Bring the sacrifice. He took over. He made the sacrifice. Just as he did, guess who shows up? Samuel. And we have that famous scripture. It is, obedience is better than sacrifice. And so Saul began to make some choices without acknowledging God, without walking with God. And one day, David has already been anointed as king. God already has plans for David to take control. He's actually in the Philistine territory. The Philistines have come up against Israel, and Saul's ready to go out to battle. Him and his sons are ready to go out to battle with him, but he's scared. He's terrified because the army of the Philistines is so vast and so powerful, and he's terrified. And so chapter 28, verse 1, the Philistines gathered. Okay, and if you go down to verse 4, the Philistines assembled and came to set up against a camp. And while Saul gathered all the Israelites and came up on Gilboa, when Saul saw the Philistine army, he was afraid, he was terrified, and fear filled his heart. Can you picture that? He inquired of the Lord, but the Lord did not answer him. By dreams, by the Urim, that's where the priests would take out those stones, Urim and the Thurim, or prophets. God was silent. Why? Because Saul had made these decisions and choices along the way. He had quit trusting in God, right? And now he wants a quick fix. God, I want to hear from you on my terms and my time. I want to hear from you, right? And God is silent because there's no relationship there. Saul then said to his attendants, find me a woman who is a medium, sorcerer, that I may go and inquire of her. There's a problem. And they said, there's one in Endor, but there's a problem because Saul had kicked them all out of the land, supposedly. Okay. So Saul disguised himself, putting on clothes, and at night, with two men, he went to the woman. He goes, consult a spirit for me, he said, and bring up the one I name. But the woman said to him, surely you know that what Saul has done. He has cut off all the medium and the spiritists from the land. Why have you set up a trap for me, for my life, to bring me to death? Saul swore by her and the Lord and says, as surely as the Lord lives, you will not be punished for this. And the woman asked, whom do you want me to bring up? Bring up Samuel, he said. And when the woman saw Samuel, she cried out at the top of her voice and said to Saul, why have you deceived me? You are Saul. And it goes on that it comes forth that Saul, he goes, you and your sons are going to be killed and wiped out. And that's what happened. Jonathan was a great man. He was David's best friend, right? Jonathan and Saul were all killed that day. And Israel had a huge defeat. But see, Saul, his relationship with God had so deteriorated that in order to hear from God, he had to go to a fortune teller, a medium, a spiritist, to hear from God. His relationship had broken down because of his own insecurities, because of his own self-reliance. The promise in Proverbs is that if we trust in the Lord with all of our heart, we lean not on our own understanding, but walk in a relationship with Him, knowing Him, we will know His path for our life. Amen? Walk with God with your whole heart. Trust Him. You know what? He will lead you into peace, prosperity, well-being, wholeness, and favor, not only with God, but also with man. He's going to go before you. You know, I'm going to have the musicians come. We don't always know. Just like the game of Catan. You think you maybe have it all figured out. There's many times I thought I had it all figured out. I really was hoping it was going to work out the way I wanted it to, right? And God had other plans. And often there were better plans than the plans I had, right? You ever found that out? Kind of like, you know, I thought I had it all planned out. God had better things in mind. All I know is that God has your best interests set in heart and in mind. And if you walk with Him, if you trust Him with your whole heart, He's going to walk with you in a very powerful way. He's going to grant you favor. Prosperity means He's going to remove those obstacles. He's going to make your path straight. But it means walking with Him in a relationship, not just crying out to him when I need him, and it's kind of like, hey, God, I'm in a mess now. I really got myself in a bad one. You know, sometimes because of my own choices. Sometimes things out of my own control, right? You know, God just doesn't want to be our help, our helpline. He wants to walk with us through life. And if we do, if we walk with Him, He's going to direct us. He's going to guide us. And beyond that, He's going to place His peace. That's what shalom means. He's going to place His peace in our heart. That's prosperity, folks. Right, Bob? Bob and I were talking. We're just about at Christmas. You know? His friends. They have more cars than they know what to do with. They have money in the bank. That doesn't mean you're happy, folks. That doesn't mean that you're prosperous. Some of the most famous and wealthy people in our world today are not happy, folks. They're not prosperous. They're prosperous in the secular sense, but they're not happy. What good is it? Walking with God is going to give you true prosperity in your own heart. It's going to give you a well-being, a contentment, a peace that passes all understanding. That's what Hebrews is talking about here. That's what this, in Proverbs here, the author that's writing in Hebrew, that's what he's talking about here. He's going to lead you into peace and prosperity for your heart and well-being. How many want that for your life as you go into 2020? Get used to saying that. I believe that God wants to guide and direct us. I wish I always knew what God had in store. I'm sometimes glad I don't, because some of the plans that He has for me would scare me. Maybe some of the plans He has for you might scare you too. So what I have found, just walking with Him, is He usually shows us the next step. He doesn't show me the whole road, the whole map, but He shows me the next step. He says, okay, take that next step. Take that next step. Walk with Him, and all of a sudden He shows me, hey, I take that step. He guides and He directs me. Amen. Would you stand this morning? Father, this morning I don't think I know anybody that doesn't want to prosperity in their own life, to have peace, to have well-being, to have contentment in this life. I think most people want to do that. And Lord God, You share wisdom with us, advice of how we can know that, but also know You. It comes as we walk in relationship with You. You are the source of all wisdom. You're the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and You invite us into relationship with As we know You, we'll know Your ways. You'll guide and direct us as to the plans we should make. It's not that we shouldn't plan, but we need to be on board with You. We need to acknowledge You. We need to be in step with You. We need to know Your heart and trust You. Some of the plans, Lord God, that You've placed within our heart, I know are going to take faith. There's things that maybe God has spoken to some of you here today. You want to take that step, but it's kind of like, God, there's no way. Provision's not there, or the strength's not there. I'm scared, God. But if we trust God with our whole heart, He's going to go before us. He's going to provide. He's going to go before us. That's His promise. That's His promise. Father, this morning I just pray for each one here. Lord God, I pray most, first of all, that we can all walk in a relationship with You. Because nothing else matters, Lord God. If we leave this earth and we don't know You as our Lord and our Savior, nothing else matters. Lord God, I pray that every person here has the hope and the promise of eternity with You, Lord God. And they can know what it is to have their sins forgiven, to know You as their Lord and their Savior. And that they can know the peace that passes all understanding, to know what it's like to just know that God is with me. That God gave us His Son, that He's with us. Whether it's good times or difficult times, the peace and the presence and the prosperity of God is still within our hearts, Lord God, because we're walking with You. And Lord God, I pray for each one here, Lord God, just as we close out one year, I pray that, Lord God, we can look at this past year and rejoice in the victories, learn from the mistakes, Lord God. And as we set our horizons on 2020, Lord God, that you would place within our heart God-given dreams and direction, Lord God, things that just aren't of us, Lord God, but that you would speak to us. I don't know if it's going to be in dreams as we're reading your word, as we're in prayer, but God, I pray that we have insight, we have understanding that just isn't from ourselves, but it comes from you, Lord God. That you are truly guiding and directing our paths and going before us, Lord God. That we have a confidence that wasn't there before because we know that God is walking with us. That we can take that next step in authority and in strength, not fearful, Lord God, but in confidence that comes from you, Lord. I pray that you go before us, that your Spirit guide and direct us. We ask this in your name we pray. Amen. And have Christy and Josh, if you join me up front here. If you want prayer, if you want us to pray with you for a need, or if you just prayed that prayer of salvation this morning, we want to pray with you. But we're here to agree with you in prayer. We're going to close with this chorus, Worthy, Build My Life. And would you just make that your prayer this morning? Father, this morning, I pray that you would go with us into this week, Lord God. As we close out one year and bring in the new year, Lord Jesus, I pray that you truly would help us to look back at this past year and glean what we can, Lord God, what went well, what didn't go well. Lord God, is there things you're wanting to mix up in our life to change? Maybe some spiritual disciplines that we wanted to... How was our walk with God? Was it awesome or was it lacking? What do we need to change? We want to walk in a way that we know your will, know you. What needs to happen in our life? Well, God, if we want things to be different in our home, in our family, what are the things we need to change up? And, well, God, I pray that you, as we come before you and seek your will, Lord God, you have promised to guide and direct us, Lord. So, Father, I pray you go with us. We give you the thanks and the praise. We ask in your name. Everybody said, amen. Hey, God bless you.